So we've heard apologies for absence from Councillor Alan Whipps, Councillor Alex Sadiq, Councillor Cherry Nicholas, Councillor Joy Whipps, Councillor Lynn Nelson and Councillor Frank Cullis.
Okay. Thank you. Public speaking. We have no public speakers that I can see. So we can go on to the meeting minutes. Does anybody have any amendments or anything to do with the minutes? Starting up here, apparently. I have one, actually, Lisa.
Yeah.
Where is it? In the declarations of pecuniary interests.
Yes.
On page 67, it says I own an allotment.
Okay.
Just in the interests of absolute clarity, I rent.
Rent an allotment.
Lease an allotment. Don't own it.
That's fine. Okay.
So I
need a proposer and a seconder, please. Brian Bailey. Brian Toy. Okay, yep. And everybody's in agreement? Thank you.
Matters of rising.
There are none to my knowledge. No.
Declarations of pecuniary, I always have trouble with that, pecuniary interest and dispensations. Yes, Steve.
Do you want to use the microphone?
Yes, please.
Yes, I have two, Chair. One is, they're both through the SLA. One is the Eccles Museum. I am a trustee, so I'm making the assumption that I've got a pecuniary interest, so I won't partake in the debate, and if you want me to leave the room, I'm quite happy to do so. The other one, Exmouth in Bloom, I am the Town Council's representative on the any other declarations?
No, thank you.
Good then. To resolve press and public be excluded for part two items. I don't think we have any. Thank you. Any part two items, do we?
No.
Right, report from the responsible financial officer.
Okay. So, I think this is self-explanatory. Let me just pull it up. Oh, just on matters arising, you'll note that there was a letter of thanks from the Museum Management Committee. So that was just for noting. But in respect of my report, so there are a few cost centres where we've exceeded the current year revenue budget. That's not surprising, given that we've only got 1 month left to run in the financial year. And in every instance, it's because the council's agreed to take money out of reserves. So all of those overspends have been agreed prior to us spending that money. The only exception is the replacement bus shelter, where we're not expecting to take that overspend out of reserves. It's been covered by an insurance claim. We had to pay for it up front and then put the claim in, so that's why the expenses against that cost code look high. In terms of bank reconciliation, you'll see that the balances of the community account, business current account, and our active saver. Following our last meeting, we've increased the investment in the CCLA investment portfolio, We've increased that to £800,000. You'll recall that £800,000 effectively represents our SIL reserves, which are, of course, earmarked, and our operating reserves, which are just under £200,000. So those two combined amounts are just about £800,000, slightly over, I think, actually. So that was why we've ring-fenced £800,000 in that particular investment vehicle. And as we noted last time, we are getting a little bit of interest on that now with interest rates going up. So that's good. So we're still holding 194,000 in general reserves within that 800,000 that's invested in CCLA. And then in our bank account, we've got earmarked reserves and working revenue. We've got about £158,000 left to last us as working revenue till the end of March, which is more than adequate. So I'm anticipating that there will be an underspend at year end when we close our accounts in March 31st. And that underspend will be fired over into earmarked reserves, into the appropriate earmarked reserves accounts. So we hadn't closed for January because Julie's been off, so we hadn't done the month-end close for January. So I can't tell you what we spent in January, but we spent £37,000 just over in November and £459,504 in December. But that included the £357,000 transfer to CCLA to bring the amount up to £800,000. There's no change in the amounts that we're holding on behalf of others, i.e. the Millennium Wood Fund, Beach Wheelchair Project, etc., etc. Slight movement in the charitable trust funds due to share price movements. They've all gone up very slightly. The charitable trust funds are held in the COIF Charity Deposit Fund account. We've still got £1,000 invested in the Teachers Building Society. And likewise, the amount that we invested in the 7IM account on behalf of the William Adams Westwood Trust Fund, I don't have the updated balance on that in terms of performance, so I wasn't able to report on that. The US-denominated shares that we hold have all dropped. They've all increased slightly as well. Total holding has gone up from 35,000 to 37, but you'll recall that the trust fund working party are actually trying to sell the US-denominated shares to invest in the 7IM fund so that we minimise our risk to currency exchange rates. It's just taking a long time to do so. So that's the RFO report. Do you want me to move on to item 7? The statement of income and expenditure?
Yes. I was just going to ask, do we use the... I mean, I don't quite understand the Williams Lab and Westwood Trust, but presumably it's their, as it says, charitable residential homes next month which provide for the elderly sick. Do
yes.
we actually use any of it for
Yes,
that
so there are... We have... Yeah, so if you look at the minutes of the Trust Fund Working Party, you'll see that there is limited scope for us to use those funds in line with the original legacy. And we have contacted the Charities Commission with a view to trying to broaden the charitable objects that they have refused on the basis that there are two charitable care homes in Exmouth. That's Resthaven and Abbeyfield are both run on a not-for-profit charitable basis. And whilst those two exist, the Charities Commission view is that there are still homes in Exmouth that we can support, despite us trying to broaden the scope. So, yes. And we've supported things like bathroom improvements and different things for those homes in the past.
May I ask Lisa, the money we hold in the Westwood share funds, if those companies started going haywire, would we be able to transfer those shares to other shares?
So the US denominated shares, it's really difficult. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. What we're trying to do is to move all the individual shareholdings that we inherited, we're trying to move them all into the 7IM investment fund, which is a managed investment fund, where the investment fund manager will obviously take a view and will move funds around, you know, he will adjust the portfolio depending on what's happening in the economic climate. So that's our intention, or the council's intention. But the US denominated shares, it's very difficult dealing with the share registrars in the US. It's really difficult to deal with them. And we have asked Thomas Westcott, financial accountants, to assist, and they are struggling. So, yeah, it is. So anyway, we're trying, Brian. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to sort of sell the US shares and invest them in the 7IM investment fund, which is a managed investment fund. Yeah.
It's a bit of a hypothetical question. I mean, the shares do pretty well, don't they, anyway, in the American one. So, but it's just a hypothetical question, really. Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, let's go on to item 7.
Okay, so you've received the detailed income and expenditure report by budget heading. I flagged up in the RFO report which cost centres have exceeded their allocated budget for the year. So unless anybody's got any other questions, we can move on to the list of payments, which are all self-explanatory, I believe. Unless anybody's got any that they specifically want to ask about. No? There's nothing, there's a few Christmas expenses in there associated with the Christmas event. But other than that, they're all quite regular. Bank statements, so you've been provided with copies of the bank accounts. It's Julie's first week back this week after a period of absence, so we haven't done the bank reconciliation, but we will do that, and we will ask someone to come in and check the bank reconciliation for reporting purposes. And is it? Unless anyone's got any questions. We have had some challenges with the banking over the last few weeks, which Julie, I think, has resolved satisfactorily. But for some unknown reason, Alex wasn't able to view the accounts when she went in to authorise payments. Something's happened with the authorised signatories, which just reinforces what I've said before about the difficulties with banking generally for town councils. But I think we have resolved the issue now. So that's all there is there. The report included the statements from the CCLA accounts as well, just to prove that the shareholdings have been transferred as requested. And I don't know if you picked up on those statements, but at the end of December, we received £1,725.65 in interest from the CCLA account. And at the end of January, we received £2,427.41. So if we're receiving £2,500 a month, that's good. Yeah. So, and I think...
One question. Did we anticipate a 30% rise in rent, and are we appealing against it?
So, we anticipated a rise, but not a 30% rise.
Are we appealing?
We budgeted 20,000. So at the moment, all we've got are draft heads of terms. Those heads of terms have not been agreed yet. I've had mixed feedback from councillors, so we're probably going to need to have a town premises working party. I don't know what scope there is for us to negotiate the rent, because it's determined by the district valuer. And obviously we've been here for 5 years, so they determine amount per square metre. I think there's probably more scope for us to negotiate the management charge rather than the rent, because the rent is based on the district valuation. And I don't know what, you know, my understanding is I don't think there's any scope for us to negotiate that on the basis that it's a district valuation.
I don't know what it would cost to get an independent value.
Yeah, so we have tried to find an independent valuer, but actually they signpost us to the district valuer, because the district valuer is the one that will value public property.
Seems quite a substantial rise, isn't it?
Well, it's effectively £1,000 a year. I mean, we've been here 5 years, so we were paying 17,000, and they're proposing 22. I don't know, if you look at what's going on in the housing market and what's happening with domestic rents, you know, everything's going up, isn't it? So I don't know, Brian.
Did we get any rebate over the COVID period?
We didn't get any rebate. On the rent, what we did get was a rebate on some mischarged management charges. So we are charged 25% of the running costs of this building. And there were some charges that related to areas that we don't have access to. So we challenged those and we got a refund on that component. It's difficult because I have negotiated successfully a rolling 6 month break lease clause, which we didn't have in our previous lease. So in our previous lease, we had to stay here for 2.5 years minimum, and then we had to give 6 months notice. So I have negotiated a 6 month break lease clause, which means that if something else came up, we can move out of here with 6 months notice. We've never had that flexibility before. So yes, but of course the downside of that is that, you know, yeah, maybe that influences to some extent as well, though the rent, I don't know.
The other way as well.
Yes, they have to give us 6 months notice.
They can keep us out
6 months, yeah.
Hasn't been any progress with the negotiation for the church at Exeter Road?
That's not in the public domain, Brian.
No, but I'm just speaking with us within this room.
No, the meeting's being recorded.
I beg your pardon, it's no longer anyway. I beg your pardon, sir. Well, we'll speak about that later,
ma'am.
Yeah.
Steve, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I'm just on that. You're absolutely right, Bruce. If you look at the private sector, the increases that and I know people that are renting from the private sector, their rents.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really difficult. It's something that the Town Premises Working Party is going to have to pick up. I think the difficulty is that, actually, if there's a formula and we have to pay the management charge based on the percentage of building that we occupy, there's probably not much flexibility to reduce it. But Because the occupancy of the building's been so low, you know, and the things like the reception service and the building not being open and that sort of thing, you know, I think that's arguable. Yeah, it's difficult. You know, I mean, the debate we had when we moved back in about whether we should be paying commercial rent as a fellow local authority department, if you like, in Exmouth Town Hall, our own town hall, is probably still valid. But we had that debate 5 years ago when we agreed to move back in, and we knew then that we would be charged commercial rate and that it would increase with inflationary RPI. So, and in the absence of anything else being available that's suitable for us to move into, we're sort of stuck, aren't we, really? It's not for want of looking or trying, but, you know, and yeah, who's to say that, you know, if we moved somewhere else, we wouldn't be paying a comparable rate?
Be interesting to compare, mind you. But I think, yeah, this is something that comes up in various forums every few months, doesn't it? Mm. And we'll just keep looking. And we do have a committee, actually.
Is the rent fixed for that period?
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I was going to have a look. I've got a feeling that we have budgeted £20,000 for rent, because we were aware that it was going to go up, but I can't remember exactly what we put in. But I think it was 20. But we've got money in reserves anyway, so. But I'll pick it up with the Town Premises Working Party and we can decide where we go from there.
Okay. Right, so we're all happy with that. Do I need to sign something when we've approved the income and expenditure?
You just need to sign the minutes, yeah. And then the bank reconciliation, we'll get Steve to sign that when he comes in at some point. Yeah.
Sure. Okay, right. Service level agreements. So we have 25,000, and there's also 14,638.5 in earmarked reserves. We used 3,000 of that for open door. So total funding available is 36,638.95, and the total of funds applied for is 40,052.88. So we're kind of three and a half thousand short. However, let's go through each of the applications and just bear in mind that we can't actually give everybody, well, unless we choose to dip into reserves, if we feel they're all absolutely worthy causes, we could presumably take a little more out of reserves.
We haven't got any more in reserves. You can't move money out of other earmarked reserves accounts. So you couldn't take money out of the civic events earmarked reserves account, for example, for service level agreements. So that is the absolute maximum that you've got to play with.
Very good. Okay.
So, now, all I would say is that the open door, obviously, when they came to see us in December and they asked for £10,000 for the year, we did give them a partial year payment of £3,000. So, I mean, my advice would be not to look at that application as a £10,000 application, but as a £7,000 application, because they've effectively already had a partial payment from us to tide them over. You'd save £3,000 there immediately. Did you see Frank's email? Because Frank had emailed through some comments and some suggestions.
Okay. So let's start centre stage anyway. So they are asking for £1,500 for core activities. We have a look at their application. So any comments on the application? Yes, Brian.
I think they do a lot of good work with youngsters, and they do very excellent, in fact they do very lush productions. But they are an amateur company, and it's costing them £70,000 on to put on two productions, which is a bit much for an amateur company, I must say. And they are proposing that they're not going to put up their seat price for their tickets, although we've had enormous increase in interest since that happened. I would suggest that they put their seat price up by 75p and we give them £500. It's getting a bit tricky for to do such large productions, because you see you've got the cost, probably one big cost must be the cost of the orchestra. You've got about 10 or 12 musicians to pay for. Now, when we do musical stuff at the plays, we use recorded music. Even in the professional theatre, they use, have you ever seen any Matthew Bourne's ballets? They're all done to recorded music.
You're speaking to a member of the Musicians Union here.
Trying to cut their expenses down, by being realistic. We're in difficult times, and you've got to cut your coat according to your clients.
Okay.
So I'm suggesting we give them £500.
Okay. Any other? Brian?
I personally don't think that's enough. I think Brian was quite right to say that they do a lot of good work for young people, and in some cases it goes on to full-time career. We've had a lot of success by this group in the past. People turn professional. So I think it's a very worthy course, and I would be content to give them what they ask for. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve?
I would concur with what Brian Bailey said, Chair. And I understand what Brian is saying. Don't get me wrong. Personally, I think that they're an amazing organisation. The amount of money that they have to pay out when they're doing these shows for scripts, costumes, etc. It's colossal, as you probably see it in the paperwork. I think it's very commendable that there was someone like at the stage where the old children could go from an early age and progress up through the musical arts and theatre. And we do know that obviously that some of them go on to make a profession out of it, which is very commendable as well. So I don't think they've been to us for a while for an SLA.
No, they haven't.
And I would support Brian Bailey's suggestion that we give them the amount that they're asking for.
Okay. Brian, you want to make another comment?
Thank you, Chair. My suggestion to them as an organisation would be if they could possibly try to renegotiate some of their higher costs for the venue they use. Rehearsal time and things like this is very expensive. And this building is owned by the public.
And are you referring to the pavilion?
Yes.
Yes. Somebody from Devon District Council, as in, is the building we're sitting in, and we've just talked about the rent we're having to pay for.
The idea of this building is to encourage groups such as this.
I totally agree.
Some of these charges, I think, are quite excessive, to be honest with you. That's not for us to decide, it's just a general discussion.
Yeah.
They could perhaps be in a position to renegotiate.
I think Yeah, I mean, in my experience, most of these venues have a rate for sort of public interest groups like Centre Stage. They won't charge Centre Stage what they'll charge a tribute band who want to play down there. I'm sure it is. And going back to Brian Toy's point, you know, the musicians are a tiny part of the cost of putting on a performance like that. Most of the musicians are probably performing for costs only, but putting on a performance like those, I know that, scripts, costumes, all these things, especially they mentioned copyrights, and they can be quite steep.
And the copyright goes up according to the size of the audience, so it gets registered at 400 people.
Yeah.
The players is registered. 99, just below the 100, so we pay the lowest license fees possible. But they're still getting a bit nasty. The trouble, of course, is they have no headquarters. Now, with the players, they got scenery. We used to build scenery when we did perform in the pavilion. We used to have to cart it down in the furniture van to put it up in the theatre. That they might explore the possibility of perhaps renting a small industrial unit or a garage or something where they could store stuff. They've got no costumes in stock, they've got no scenery in stock, and they've got to hire it all, and it's getting very, very expensive. And I think really they've got to be a bit more realistic about their production costs. You can do a lot of, I mean, in my opinion, the whole revolves around the talents of the people performing it. All the other stuff is secondary to that. And you can do cardboard cutout things and all sorts of things if you want to economise without absolutely sacrificing the actual opportunities of the people doing it. And I think they've got to be realistic. I think 75p on each seat might raise about £1,000. So that would cover, some of that cost. We've got to cut £2,500 off of this budget. When are we going to do it?
Okay. Well,
don't know, because you've got some. You've got if you assume that you've given Open Door already £3,000. And the total budget, if you brought the Open Door application down to 7, for example, if you were minded to give them 7, then actually the total amount you need is 37, and you've got 36,638. So you're not that far adrift. Frank had made suggestions regarding the grant amounts for some of the other bodies, hadn't he? Some of the amounts requested are higher than the amounts that we've given organisations in the last couple of years. So.
I mean, I will just say that they're asking for £1,500, which in terms of their kind of turnover of 70,000 is a very small amount. They're not asking for a huge amount. They're just asking for a bit of a contribution towards their cost. And I'm sure, Brian, they're quite capable of going through all their costs and figuring out where they can cut corners. But I can appreciate that they don't want to increase seat prices because they rely so much on parents and grandparents and family members supporting those shows that they don't want to put them off by asking them to contribute even more. And I totally agree with you about talent, but if you're going to put on a professional production, you've got to have professional values about it as well. Because I see Brian Bailey wants to come in.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate what Councillor Toy said, and I'm very thankful for the support from the from the Mayor. So I'd like to propose that they get £1,500, Chair, as they've requested, if I may.
Okay. So we go to a vote then?
We've got a proposer and a seconder for that.
So Brian's proposing, Steve seconding?
Yeah.
Okay, go to a vote. 1,500.
Okay, that's carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Brian. Okay.
Excuse me, Chair, before you start, I'd like to, I forgot to declare an interest in Open Door. I'm not a member of Open Door per se, but I am a member of Dementia, which is associated with Open Door.
Okay. Right, next one on my list is Citizens Advice. Just a note again, 6,000 last year, they're asking for 7,000 this year. Their application. They obviously have put in a very professional application with breakdowns of age and everything else, graphs, and just what you'd expect from an organisation like that.
Dean Stewart is quite keen to come and talk to the council because he's the newly elected chairperson or CEO. I'm not sure his title. CEO. But I've suggested that we do it after the elections because you know, it's probably more pertinent for him to present to the new new council, whatever that looks like in May.
Okay. So yeah, I noticed their total expenditure is 200,000. It doesn't sound an awful lot to me, but they are asking for 7,000 against that. And I noticed they're also asking for a contribution from all the other Devon County, East Devon District, and all the other town councils. And I think actually our share kind of came out as 7,000, wasn't it? They do it on a sort of pro rata basis. I think I read somewhere. Any thoughts? Yes, Brian.
Thank you, Chair. I feel that their demands on their services, due to financial pressures and the way the world is at the moment, I think they're going to need as much help as they can get. And I think the services they provide for a vast array of people is very good indeed. It's good value for money, and it's very professional in their advice. Fortunately, I've not been in a position to lead them myself, but I've heard from other people that have, and they've been very well pleased and delighted with what they've achieved for them.
Yeah,
thank you, Chairman.
My daughter's used them in Bristol, actually, and they are very good. Brian?
I'm certain that, I mean, going to be more and more demanding on their services with the way things are going. It's going to be, they're going to be stretched even, I think, with the budget they've got. There's only one thing I would query. £10,000 in miscellaneous expenses, I think we might need to, they probably can't explain that, but it needs a sort of a funny little question mark. But undoubtedly, they need those resources. I did notice in their accounts, there was one column marked contributions from EU, zero, which means that EU contributions are once included in their costs. So now we've lost it. That's another Brexit opportunity, isn't it?
Well, I'm not quite sure that they would pay to
do that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as regards the miscellaneous costs, I would make a guess that's phones, broadband, all the other. I mean, there's nothing. Oh, they've got premises costs, actually, utilities. I can imagine there are a myriad of other costs that go on with running an operation like that. Okay, so Brian, were you proposing giving them the full amount then?
I would like to, if that's all right with you, Chair.
Well, it's not up to me, it's up to the committee. Steve, what are your thoughts?
I concur with my colleagues, Chair. I've been in the fortunate position to be able to go in and see them working. And during the government, they've announced so many different handouts, as they call them. And I've been there, seeing the people standing outside, going in with their forms, especially with the heating allowances. Magnificent. Very
back to a vote then. Okay.
It's unanimous.
For the full amount.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I totally agree. I mean, it's a fantastic service. I say my daughter's used it in Bristol, got very professional, you know, legally sound advice from it. So. Right, what was next on the list?
Exmouth and District Community Transport.
Community Transport. They've put in a very specific amount.
So this is formula driven from the very inception of the Exmouth and District Community Transport Organisation. It was agreed that all the parishes that use the service, that the amount of funding requested from each of the town councils would be prorated. Based on residency and demand.
This is the one I was thinking.
This one is, there's a formula that is applied every year. And it's the same as they requested last year.
So we don't really want to depart from that.
I suggest we approve it.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Do you have a seconder? Brian B. Browns, okay.
All in favour? Okay, thank you. The next one is Exmouth Football Club floodlights. So you will recall that our contribution here is in respect of the maintenance of the floodlights, which allows the Devonair ambulance to use the football club as a night landing site.
In your application, obviously, the money was going to be used to repay the loans they had from the Devon FA. Now, can we actually grant money for paying back loans? This did say that in the application form.
So I think they've had to upgrade the floodlights, but our contribution is in respect of those floodlights then being used for the Devonair ambulance. It's a goodwill gesture towards the use of the site. So I think, how that money is used by them when it transfers over, it's in recognition of the fact that they allow that site to be used as a night landing site. And you might recall that we had to pay for the trips to be put on the floodlights so that the air ambulances can activate the floodlights remotely when they need to land. So that's all. That's why it's sort of tied into the floodlights. But I think they had to upgrade the floodlights, and so that technology's been transferred over. I don't think there's an issue with that, as long as, it's clear, which we have made it clear, that support is for the operation of that site as a night landing site. And the costs that are associated with that and the floodlights. I mean, even if you just look at the electricity costs and everything for those floodlights.
I can imagine that's gone. Yeah, it actually says the grant is to help with the provision of the lights. It forms part of a broader plan to improve the whole facility for the people of Exmouth. And in fact, there's an application going through to East Devon at the moment for new stands, which I saw the other day. So they are doing some upgrades there. Okay, I noticed they're also supporting the Afghan refugees, which is terrific. Payment for the recommission of the floodlights. I can't read the next bit. I do think we should ask for typed application forms in the future. I found this one quite slow reading. How much are they actually asking for?
They're asking for $3,500, and that's what we gave them last year.
Right, so it's not an increase. Okay. thoughts on this one?
Solar panels on their roof to help the electricity bill, and that all involves some energy efficient element at all. But it's a necessary service.
I would imagine they're using, you know, the latest LED bulbs. So I would imagine they're as energy efficient as they can be.
Okay, so you've got a proposer and a seconder for £3,500.
Okay, so we put that on the vote then.
Okay, that's Carrie, thank you.
Okay, well, we're not doing very well at saving money so far.
So the next one is Exmouth in Bloom. They have requested £8,500. Last year we awarded them £6,500. They asked for more last year. We granted them £6,500.
Okay, any thoughts on this one?
Right. Perhaps we, it would be quite valid to give them a 10% increase on that, what we gave them last year, which was to save a little bit. But obviously, they do add a lot to the writing up the town, so
we don't have to do too much. Yes, yes. Okay, so a 10% would be somewhere around about 50, maybe something like that. Any other thoughts, Brian?
Thank you, Chair. I believe, from memory, what it costs them to do what they do for us is around about £17,000 to £18,000 per year. Which, considering what they're asking for now, means that they're raising one way or another a considerable amount of funds to help themselves, which I think should be appreciated. I would think, personally, I would like to give them £7,500 as a figure. Because what they do for the town year on year on year really does boost the whole of town, boost it for visitors. And then now, in the top, they're winning national prizes on a regular basis, which is to be commended.
Yeah, absolutely, Brian. The town would be a lot poorer without their activities. Steve?
Yeah, I mean, they do a tremendous amount of fundraising themselves. So they do try to help themselves. And I think, did you say 7.5?
Right? Yes.
Yeah, I think that would be,
thank you, Steve.
Would be welcome.
Okay. So we take it that Brian's proposing in your seconding there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
7,500.
Sounds like we're all in agreement there.
Yeah. Thank you.
So you've allocated just over 25,000 so far.
Okay. I mean, if we can, I'm rather not personally, and we haven't got to it yet, but I'd rather not take the entire 3,000 off Open Door, because I think the 3,000 was kind of for the remainder of this year, and what we're looking at is next year.
So Exmouth Museum is the next one. They've requested they've requested £2,000. Last year we gave them £1,000.
I think they've got some exciting plans actually in terms of digitization, digitizing all the old cine films they have, which are absolutely valuable resource. Even stuff shot in the 1960s is often absolutely fascinating in terms of social history. However, in terms of the kind of priorities of need in Exmouth, I feel if we were to trim a little bit off what they're asking for personally, I wouldn't mind that. But any other thoughts on that? Brian?
I agree with you, Chair. While they're doing a wonderful job compared to Open Door and Citizens Advice, I know it's comparing apples with pears, but in the public need and the public good that's being done by the previous mentions of the two charities, I appreciate what they're doing, but it's for history, it's beneficial, and it's good for the well-being of the town, but it's not essential. So I would suggest that we were to cut it a little bit. I would agree with your suggestion, Jack. Thank you.
Okay. Any suggestion on how much to cut it by?
Yeah, 500. Yeah.
So 1,500?
1,500.
I second that. Brian.
Yeah.
Okay. They've asked for 2,000, Brian. We gave them 1,000 last year. So yeah. Are you saying that we meet them halfway with 1,500?
Yeah. Everybody in agreement with that? Do we need a show of hands?
Yes, please.
So who proposed that? Who seconded?
I've got Brian Toy proposing and Brian Bailey seconding. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, sweet. Right. The next one is the NCI, National Coast Watch. So,
they've requested £2,000, and we gave them £2,000 last year. Last year was the first year that we've supported NCI.
Yeah, I mean, again, they're doing fantastic work. They've got considerable costs. That building they're in is no longer really fit for purpose. Although I noticed they have done some refurbishments on it just this year. But I think they feel that's the last time they can do that. But that's not within our gift at the moment. Again, I kind of feel as though they are doing great work. And they do definitely contribute to beach and sea safety, but in terms of their total turnover, what they're asking for is quite a large amount of it. Their turnover is something like 7,000, and they're asking us for 2,000. And again, I wonder if that's one where we might reduce that to 1,500. Any thoughts on that?
Do you want to propose 1,500 then, Ollie?
Yeah, I'll do that.
I'll second that, Chair.
Okay.
And it sounds as though they have managed to carry out some refurbishment. How they managed to do that on their total expenditure, I don't know. And they're sort of staffed by volunteers. It's great work that they do. But again, I feel against the level of need we're looking at with Open Door. Citizens Advice, I feel we've got to prioritise a little bit where we feel the greatest need and the greatest desire for help is.
Would that be possible through you, Chair? When Lisa or Julie notifies the individual to know what they've got for their residents, could it just be explained? We've had an increase in the numbers that have come forward, and we've done our very best to be as favourable as we can to everybody. Just so that they're aware of that, you know.
I think if we can, that's a good idea, Steve. Yeah, perhaps when we write to them, Lisa will just point out that the total of the applications received
exceeded,
was greater
yeah,
than
was
the amount
of funds,
we had
in
funds, including reserves.
Yeah.
So therefore, we've had to.
We can politely suggest that we're
Steve was saying, we've probably got more SLAs this year than ever.
So I think with the museum, yeah, so, well, same amount, I think. But, I mean, for example, the museum, included in the agenda pack, was a thank you note for a capital grant that we gave them.
Right.
So
yes,
they have had support through a capital grant this year.
Yeah.
And it may be that I could say, to example, for National Coast Watch, we did support their camera purchase, their CCTV camera purchase, with a capital grant.
Yes.
So it may be also that I can go back and say that if they have any capital needs during the year, there's nothing to preclude them from applying for a capital grant, because that's a separate pot of money.
Yeah.
So that might soften the blow a little bit as well.
And that's things we can do through the year.
Yes.
Go through next year.
Yeah.
Very good. Sooner Queen Shire gets finished, the better, and then they'll hopefully be in a fit for purpose building. I don't know if anyone's actually been up there. Aurora and I went up there some time ago, and it's very, very crap conditions.
No,
it's like working in a table.
Yeah. And they have pointed out it's a single skin building, and their equipment gets damaged.
Yes.
Mm.
Okay, so now we come to open door.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Got a proposer and a seconder
for
£1,500.
Okay, I just wonder if we should look at Beach Rescue first and perhaps leave open door to last, and then we can see how much we've got left when we get to that.
Yeah.
So that would be a good idea. So should we look at the Beach Rescue next? They're asking for £1,500. They're all doing fantastic work, aren't they? And we absolutely. I think Beach Rescue, actually, because of their kind of education program, they're not just rescuing people, they are training people to be lifesavers. Even that in itself, just in the benefit to young people, is fantastic. You know, for a young person at the Central Trained Lifeguard, it's kind of doing the same kind of things as Centre Stage and a lot of organisations, it all helps young people's self-esteem and their confidence. You want to say something, Brian?
May I?
Yeah.
My computer's not working very well. May I ask how much they're asking for, Jeff?
£1,500.
That's what we've given them in the past, £1,500 a year.
We gave them £1,500. What would that leave us for open door? Bear in mind, about 7,000.
It would leave just £10,000.
I think, we're talking about organisations that actually save people's lives.
Yeah.
And I think we should do everything we can to support them. I mean, one life saved is.
No, you need to stick to the amount that they've requested.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think we should be negotiating upwards. I think if they've requested £1,500, we should...
Just take it on board.
Yeah. No, I think they've put in what they think is a reasonable request, but I think you set a dangerous precedent if you start anticipating.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've requested what they want, and I think you should stick to that personally.
I thought their application is a little... Lord, actually, because they say their total expenditure is £1,500 and they were asking for a grant of £1,500. I thought, so are we covering their entire expenditure? But then when you read down at the bottom, they're adding in the £1,500 makes their total income £9,000. So I'm assuming that their costs are actually greater than that. But it's not actually a very well. No,
we hadn't received one from them, and we had to chase them, and the applicant hadn't been very well, so it was put in at the last minute. So I suspect that's why.
At least they have typed it. I think there needed to be a bit clearer about the costs and what the grant would do, but they seem to have submitted everything else that they were asked for. So
Steve,
did we have a proposal?
Are you going to propose $1,500? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm proposing.
Okay. Brian proposed, Steve seconded. All in favour? Great. Okay, so that now brings us to open door.
So if you were minded to give the full £10,000 that they've requested, you will have allocated £39,552.88 of the available budget. If you're minded to...
How much have we saved at the moment?
It's not so much what we've saved. You have a total budget available of £40,052. And if
that's what we've got asked for, isn't it?
Yes.
The total funding we've got available is 36.
Six. And if you're minded to give them the full amount, you'll spend 39. So you're still about £3,000 over.
And only get them from the sound of it then.
Yeah,
I think, to be honest, we haven't trimmed much off, have we? What did we reduce? Excellent in blue, we took 1,000 off that. Museum, we took
500, and NCI, you took 500 off.
Managed to cut 2,000, so yeah, that still leaves a total of 38,000.
I take your point that the £3,000 was sort of an interim period, mm-hmm. but actually, if you look at a full 12-month period, if you minded to give them 7,000, they'll have 10. And we could do the same that we've suggested and say that we'd be amenable to a capital cost grant.
Yeah.
Because that'll come out of a different budget pot. So if they've got anything that they need to replace, that we would consider a capital grant.
So, yeah. So if we give them 7, does that take us up to our 36?
Yeah, 36,552. You've got 36,638. So, yeah, that's just under what you've got allocated.
Okay.
So, does somebody want to propose that then?
Yeah. Okay.
Steve?
Yeah. And Brian seconded.
John Angus?
Yeah.
Okay. I just mentioned, Joe,
that
Open Door are under a lot more pressure. They've always been under pressure the last few, nine months. Been considerable pressure. They're opening now on Saturdays, predominantly to feed children with families, people with families, because the children get school meals, which is Monday to Friday, which is great, but the weekends, they're struggling with the cost of food going up almost daily. Now, young people with families are struggling, and so they're providing this extra service. Which is very commendable, very welcome to feed young children. And I think we ought to support them very much as best we can because they do a wonderful job.
Now, without them,
I wouldn't bear to think of the situation. Thank you, Chairman.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we only have 7,000 left in the budget, and it is the largest application that we've had tonight.
They've also had the three not so long ago, haven't they? So that does make up to 10. So,
yeah. We're just in a difficult time, don't we?
Yeah.
So you will have allocated 36,552.88 if you vote to approve that 7,000 for Open Door.
And that's just within our budget, isn't it?
Mm.
Leaves about 100. Or less, actually. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think it would be bad to try and pass an overdraft on to the next council, you know, because the demands are all going to get bigger anyway.
Yeah. Okay. No, I don't think we can do it. So, 7,000.
Okay. That's carried. Thank you. So just as a sort of a passing comment, the piece of legislation under which we are allowed to make grants to community organisations states that the benefits need to be commensurate with the amounts that you allocate. So, you know, I think that's the way that you've looked at it in terms of the potential beneficiaries. That sounds fair to me.
I must admit, looking at this, I'm thinking 10,000 from Open Door, 8,500 from Exmouth in Bloom. And I know we did give them 1,000 less, but we're only able to give Open Door 3,000 less. And much as I love the flowers around the town, and I'm sure they do lift everybody's spirits, and what Open Door are doing is people right on the sharp end.
Well, you've agreed 7,500 for Exmouth in Bloom and 7 for Open Door. You happy with that? Seven on top of the three that you've already given to Open Door.
Because of this parent-child system, we should be getting some help from social services, shouldn't we, really?
They do get some funding from I was thinking of the NHS. I think I saw somewhere in their application that they were expecting some funding.
What about Devon County? They get any funding from them?
Yeah, I think they do. I think they have quite a list, if I remember rightly. Other local authorities, central government, health authorities, European funds. I think that might have been an income, Brian. Companies and trusts, national lottery, other grants. They've got an application to Children in Need. They said, well, it sounds like they've been awarded it. Oh, not secured yet. Yes, for 18 months, and said they'd only received 10% of that in the first 6 months. I'd love to give them more, but I think we just have to look at what we've got.
As Lisa says, if they are struggling, there's an interim period if they could come to the new council.
Well, if they've got
some of us will still be here, then you never know.
If they've got
it's only for capital,
project,
only for capital, not
yeah,
for
it need
yeah.
to be, or it could be a specific project, couldn't it?
Yeah.
That they wanted help with, maybe if they were setting up a new service and needed some help with that. I think that is definitely worth pointing out to some of those people that we haven't given the full amount, like Exmouth Museum, that they have another capital. Those who are likely to need capital help. The museum, possibly the NCI, might at some point want some help. If they're trying to get a new building or something like that, they might want a contribution from the St. Patch Fund.
They're more justified spending on these things and the government is on spending.
Let's not go there, Brian. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
So I think that brings our meeting to an end.
Thank you very much.